Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the TF1 conference call for the first quarter 2015 financial accounts. I will now hand over to Mr. Philippe Denery, CFO. Sir, please go ahead.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us. I will start with the main key facts of the first quarter 2015. Then I will comment on the results for Q1, and finally, I will take your questions. Let's start with the key facts for Q1 2015. In this first quarter, we achieved 3% growth in advertising revenues for our four free-to-air channels in a market where demand for TV advertising remains strong. During this quarter, we had the opportunity to increase the volumes of advertising while preserving value, as January and February, as you know, are traditionally low in terms of volumes. The first quarter also saw a 13 million increase in the cost of programs. There were a number of reasons for this. The first reason is, of course, the tough comps we had as compared to last year. As I've already said, we made substantial changes to our schedule on the TF1 core channel at the start of last year, 2014, in response to the Winter Olympics on the state-owned channels and in anticipation of the Football World Cup, which led us to generate last year 28 million of savings. So these comps explain the 13 million increase in the cost of programs, but compared with 2 years ago, the cost of programs is down by 15 million. The second reason, we have been reinvesting in our DTT channels. And the third reason, particularly intense competition in terms of the resources devoted to programming as audience ratings came under pressure for all players. Other key elements, audiences. Although the group's average audience share of individuals aged four and over fell slightly in the first quarter, it remains high at 27.7%. In the context of our offering is still unique, among women aged under 50, our audience share was virtually unchanged at 31.8% versus 32% last year. On this advertising target, the TF1 core channel widened the gap with its closest challenger. We protected our high-value slots with prime time on the TF1 core channel, holding steady year-on-year at 6.1 million viewers. We are continuing with our multi-channel strategy. We've seen that the semifinal of the World Handball Championship was shown on TMC. These four factors, audience ratings on target segments, ratings in prime slots, our lead over our competitors, and our multi-channel strategy, are consistent with our strategy over the last few years. There were two other significant developments during the quarter. The expiry of our undertakings to the French Competition Authority on January 26th, which should make it easier for us to operate on four channels better. The deconsolidation of Eurosport France, which has been sold to Eurosport Group on March 31st, with a positive impact on our current operating profit. Now, let's turn to group revenues. Overall, group consolidated revenues for the first quarter of 2015 reached 475.1 million euros, up by 1.1% year-on-year. Free-to-air TV advertising revenues for the group were 343.6 million euros for the quarter, representing year-on-year growth of 3.2%, with each of the four channels up compared to last year. The volume of advertising broadcasted increased by 14.7% on free-to-air television, a very specific situation during this quarter due to seasonality effects. The travel, healthcare, and retail sectors increased their gross advertising spend in Q1. The cosmetic, food, publishing, and household cleaning sectors were also up, but to a lesser extent. Finally, the banking, insurance, telecoms, and automotive sectors reduced their gross advertising spend over the quarter. Advertising on other media in the broadcasting subdivision reached 16.3 million euros at end of March 2015, a 7.4% decrease year-on-year, Third-party airtime sales and digital advertising performed well, but not enough to offset the drop in advertising revenue at Metro. Revenues for the content business reached 14.6 million euro at end of March 2015, up by 1.4% versus end of March 2014. The distribution of recent movies as well as catalog revenues helped TF1 Droits Audiovisuels perform well, while TF1 Production reported growth in its live shows business. The consumer product segment generated revenues of 48.4 million euros over the quarter, down by 5.3% versus Q1 2014. Music revenues were down at TF1 Entreprises due to high comps in Q1 2014 with significant releases and the opening of the Star Wars exhibition. This year, the Harry Potter exhibition has started only at the beginning of April. Revenues generated by TF1's home shopping activity decreased by 7.3% year-on-year, while TF1 Vidéo made a good start to the year. The pay TV segment generated 31.6 million euros of revenues in Q1 2015, up by 2.3% compared to the same period last year due to the renegotiation of contracts of our pay TV channels, which offset the decrease in LCI revenues and the closure of Stelia. Now, let's turn to the cost side. The cost of programs for the group's four free-to-air channels amounted to 243.5 million euro in Q1, up by 13.1 million euros. As I told you, part of the 28 million euro of non-recurring savings made in Q1 2014 were reinvested during Q1 2015, mostly in dramas and movies. Moreover, one additional match of the French national football team was broadcast, and a news-heavy agenda also contributed to the increase in the cost of programs. Other operating costs, including depreciation, amortization, and provisions, fell by 28.9 million euros year-on-year. The disposal of Eurosport France offset a non-recurrent increase in staff costs due to a difference in the timing in salary reviews and ongoing measures to improve productivity. The effect of these differences should be canceled out in the coming quarters. As a result, operating profit for the first quarter of 2015 was 28.1 million euros versus 6.9 million euros a year earlier. I would remind you that the first-time application of the IFRIC 21 accounting interpretation has led us to restate the quarterly operating profits we published last year with a negative impact of 4 million euros on the first quarter. Operating margin for Q1 2015 was 5.9%. Consolidated net profit attributable to the group was 32.7 million euros versus 12.1 million euros to end of March 2014. I remind you, it includes the net gain of the Eurosport France deconsolidation. The net cash position of continuing operating stands at 572 million euros, an improvement of 75 million euros compared to end of 2014. This includes cash inflow from the partial sales of Rugby World Cup rights. To conclude this introduction, the first quarter was affected by one-off events. This first quarter is in line with our expectation, consistent with TF1's strategy for the last few years in terms of audience strategy, multi-channel strategy, and commercial strategy. During the quarter, we have continued to innovate and develop our technologies in digital, advertising airtime sales, B2C activities, as well as partnerships. Finally, the first quarter confirmed our secured financial means, keeping our full capacity to develop both through organic growth or external growth our business. That concludes my review of TF1 results for the first quarter 2015. Thank you again for having joined us tonight. Should you have any question, please do not hesitate to ask. Finally, I would remind you that a recording of this conference call will be available, and you will find the connection details on our website, tf1.com.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please dial 0 and 1 on your telephone keypad. We have a question from Lloyd Davidson from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Laurie here from Deutsche. The first question is just over the Eurosport gain. It's 34 million you disclosed in the cash flow. Can we just find out how much it is on EBITA and net income? The second question is just over the what you now expect for the cost and revenue benefits from the TMC and NT1 integration and the restructuring of your news operations. And the third question is just over new channels. The French regulator is set to decide in May, I believe, on whether to release new channels into the TV market as a result of the MPEG 2 to MPEG 4 transition. Do you intend to bid for those channels, and do you expect more competition to come over 2016 from this? Thanks.
Well, thank you. On the first question on Eurosport France, the impact on the EBIT is on the line pay TV sector. You will find the figures you've mentioned is on our accounts. So basically, if you look at what has been published, pay TV has a negative 33.7 million euro as current operating profit for the pay TV. And that is basically the magnitude of the amounts of the impact of Eurosport France. On the second question, we are not expecting any change in our strategy for savings and cost approach. We have some, as I mentioned, specific issues on Q1, but we will go on with our same strategy in terms of cost savings, and the specific decision or cost we had during Q1 should be offset for the whole year, all along the next quarter. Concerning your third question, new channels, we don't know yet what will be the process and finally what the regulator will decide. We understand that it's an issue concerning the 700 megahertz frequencies. We understand that there could be some channels moving from SD to HD, and we'll see if this will go on with additional channels on the free-to-air or not. But the principle first, from what we understand, is to move from SD to HD. Nothing for us which is at this stage new in the next few weeks or months.
Okay, so just two follow-ups. Just to be clear on the benefit on EBITA and net income, all of that 33.7 million profit in EBITA was on pay TV was the gain on Eurosport. And just secondly, I realise what you're saying in terms of cost phasing, but what is going to be the benefit this year from TMC, NT1 integration and the news restructuring in particular? Thanks.
Well, on TMC, NT1, we will come back with more figures and explanation in July. As we always said, we have started to reorganise TMC, NT1 agency. We will go on to look at how we can improve and develop more synergy with the different teams. It's only from 26th of January. So, as always said, we will come back to you with more details after the half-year or during the half-year results. Concerning news restructuring, We are first waiting for the decision of our Supreme Court concerning SDR, which should come mid of June. In the meantime, we are working on different scenario for the all infamous news concern, and different scenario are under review in order, as it has been said, to restructure and limit or stop for next year the losses in this specific sector. Now, just for your information on the impact on Eurosport deconsolidation, there is no tax on this, and that is directly on the net income, not taxable.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. We have a next question from Chris Jonin from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yes, thanks for taking my questions, guys. First, on the current trading, I guess. I mean, what's your view on the market currently? You said last quarter that you see stabilization. Now you say that demand for TV in general is good, but you also mentioned greater competition. Maybe you can provide a bit more color on the market dynamics in general, and maybe also particularly in April. And then maybe also related to that, a quick comment on volumes and prices in Q1. Maybe you can be a bit more specific on that. Then second point on Eurosport, if I remember correctly, a couple of quarters ago you mentioned that part of the reason why you did sell a large part of Eurosport was that you'd rather consolidate a stronger asset at equity than owning 100% of a standalone asset. And that we basically shouldn't see this as some sort of exit or lack of passion on the underlying business. Now June is approaching, and I'm kind of wondering, what are you going to do? Do you still have that view that you had back then? Comments on that would be nice. And then last question on the yearly commitments you've made, basically starting since a couple of months ago. Is there any sort of color you can give us on that? To try and understand, what the sentiment has been and how difficult or not it has been to sign people. Thank you.
Well, on the first question, we have benefit from January, February volume capacity to increase, and that is partly explaining the performance of the advertising on free-to-air. And, of course, there was capacity to increase the volume. What I've said and what we feel is that the demand for TV media remains strong in terms of interest for the TV media, even if the visibility remains very low. The competitive environment is quite tough. That is how we can just comment the first 3-4 months of this year. We have less capacity, as you know, in Q2 in terms of volumes. We had in June last year the World Cup, but for the moment, it's in line with our expectation, including for April. April is in line with Q1, but we don't have the volume capacity to play with in April. So, of course, that makes a difference with Q1, even if, again, the interest of advertisers for TV remain strong. May is a bit more complicated for plenty of reasons, including seasonality, no visibility on June. We have said that we see the market for the full year stable, and we have we confirm for the market. We don't give any more guidance specifically for TF1 because of the lack of visibility. Concerning the second question, Eurosport and our stake in Eurosport International of 49%, we have until beginning of July to decide whether we will exercise our option or not. The process has started to review and understand better the discovery strategy, which has been put in place now for the last few months. And, of course, we will come back in due time to the market to give our position and the board position on this option. The partnership is going quite well with Discovery. We are very pleased with what has been achieved, which is in line with the strategy which has been decided together a few years ago, and they are delivering some synergy, even if, of course, it goes through a different reorganization process, as usual in this case, but really in line with what we had in mind, both partners had in mind when we have signed the partnership. Now, concerning the third question, if I understand your question, we had some annual commitment on advertising, and I would say that we comply with this in terms of demand, which remain in line with what we've said. We are quite cautious because of the lack of visibility, and we remain with our ratings quite attractive for advertisers as the group is concerned. So that's what we can say for the year.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have a next question from Charles Boudouin from Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Good evening, everyone. Thank you for taking the time. Just coming back on the Q2, I guess, and on the cost. On Q2, I understand what you say about the lack of volume going into June. But you know, if we look last year, the quarter was down. So any reason why you know, you shouldn't have some form of base effect? You know, if you have this gap in volume, that's the first thing. Still in Q2 and maybe for the rest of the year, you mentioned interestingly that some of the most cyclical sectors like finance and autos did not participate to growth in Q1, and we've seen some encouraging signs on the auto sector. So, any reason why those sectors would be down or would not come back for the rest of the year? And I guess just to be 100% sure on the cost side, that you are planning to rebalance the phasing, the 13 million you mentioned over the year, and if you have any changes in your cost expectations for the year. And actually, a third question, if I may, very quickly on content. Last year, you had top of my head 4 million profits. You didn't have that in Q1, but the revenues were flat. So can you give us a little more visibility on the phasing of content profits maybe for the rest of the year? Thank you.
Well, on the Q2, yes, we have comps, which is a bit tougher than in Q1. Especially in terms of capacity to increase volume. Well, we remain confident, and as you've seen, we have kept the value of our advertising spot. So we will, of course, have the tough comp, or the comp which is minus two last year Q2, but we remain with the target we have, and we don't see any specific issue as for now with limited view. Now your second question was the
cost phasing around Q1, just to be 100% sure that there is no change to the underlying trend, and maybe if you can reiterate your view on the cost and programming cost for the full year.
Yes. On the COGS side, just to understand better Q1, we had an increase of 13 million on the programming cost. There are one-shot reasons. One is due to the fact that we have broadcasted more French drama than last year, with more value, and that is also to comply on the yearly basis with our obligations. In addition to that, we have a specific issue, which is the fact that we have broadcasted one match, additional match, as compared to last year for the French football team. There is a seasonality effect, and doesn't mean or has any impact on the full year as a basis of comparison. When we have also invested some savings which were achieved last year and the year before. Now, regarding our target and what we have already said on the full-year programming cost, we should be and we will be in line with our target and the guidelines we have already given after having made the savings which were achieved during the last 2 years. So there is nothing special on programming cost for the whole year, even if there is a seasonality effect during the Q1. Concerning the other costs, we had a specific event, a specific cost this quarter due to specific process in terms of improving the productivity. And as you know, that may have on the seasonality effect some specific costs, which explain the fact that we increased our staff cost for the quarter around 9 million euro, a bit less than 9 million euro. That will be dealt with all along the year, and there is no specific issues for the whole year. So I hope I answered clearly as possible your question in terms of cost.
Yes.
The Q1 is a bit specific in terms of cost, and we will go on with the same strategy for cost savings and the way we manage costs. Concerning the third question, content in 2015, as you know, we won't have the benefit of a specific film, which was Qu'est-ce qu'on a fait au bon Dieu, which has generated in terms of last year, in terms of revenues, as well in terms of profitability, some good opportunity. And we probably should take the previous year, 2013, as a normative year for the content sector.
Okay, very clear.
Yes. Okay. Any other question, or I missed one?
No, thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. We have a next question from Conor O'Shea from Kepler Cheuvreux. Please go ahead.
Yes, thank you. Just a couple of questions from my side as well. First question, just overall to wrap up your comments on the phasing of programming costs. Could you maybe give us your best guess overall programming costs for the full year 2015? Second question, just to clarify your comments on advertising revenues in April, when you said in line with the first quarter, even though there's less of a volume effect, are you speaking about net advertising revenue growth, and therefore just over 3% as for the first quarter? If you could just clarify that. Third question on Eurosport on the full year. Can you give us a sense? I think Discovery has been talking about reinvesting in that business. A rough expectation in terms of what Eurosport might generate in terms of operating profits this year. don't think there are any major sports events that would weigh on costs, but if you could help us out there, it would be very helpful. And then just the last question, just on the holding company line, the first quarter, you're not showing any revenues, and operating profit is down a little bit. Is there some change of accounting policy there, or could you explain what's happening there?
Thank you, Carlos. I would answer your last question first. On holding line, we had in the past one cast revenues and profit, but we've sold one cast business last year. So that's mainly real estate activity internally, generating no at a consolidated level, no specific revenues, and a profit which is linked with the real estate sector. So that's explaining the figures for the first quarter, and you won't find for the moment any more revenues on this line in the future. Second question is, your first question was the guidelines or the way we see programming costs for the year. We don't give any specific guidelines for the programming cost anymore, just because we adapt ourselves to the competition and the market, and due to the fact that there are seasonality effects and some competition on programming which are broadcasted by our competitors as well. So we have to adapt and to keep our position in terms of ratings and to invest when necessary and at the right moment. So that could be a bit flexible, and we need some flexibility. Now, we remain with the same approach, and there is no change in terms of what we have to deliver and the magnitude of the programming cost, which is basically what has been achieved for the last 2 years in terms of average. There is one issue which is clear. Last year, if you had the programming cost excluding the World Cup, we have reached 920. But that was very specific, as you know, just because we had the benefit of a replacement program, and that basically was evaluated and estimated around 15 million euros. Now, in addition to that, you can take into account the fact that, of course, the Rugby World Cup is less in terms of cost, the rights are lower, significantly lower than the World Cup, the Football World Cup. And the magnitude of the difference is roughly around 40 million euros. But that is on the specific sports events, and that includes, of course, the basis of comparison we had last year with the 74, 73.8 million programming cost for the World Cup as compared to what it should be for the rugby this year. So that will be the benefit of the difference in terms of rights, cost rights this year on the programming cost. And apart from that, we will manage through the limited reinvestment we will have to do basically on the tactical savings which have been achieved during the last 2 years. And we have always said that we will reinvest gradually, depending on the pressure on the ratings we will have, depending on our competitors' investments during the year. Concerning the April and advertising revenues, definitely not 3% in April, because I'm just saying that it's the same trend, but that we have no capacity to deal or to do the same as during the first quarter in terms of volumes. So same trend, but of course with less flexibility in terms of volume for April, and that will be the case for the following months. Now, concerning your last question, being Eurosport, Eurosport International, I probably should leave Discovery answering the question in terms of reinvesting or not. But yes, they have a strategy which is in line with what we've said and what was the reason of, part of the reason of our partnership. One of the reasons I remind you was the fact that
there are some local content or approach that they were in a better position than us to optimize in terms of local rights or specific rights because of their position on specific markets. And of course, they may or they have already started to reinvest in a limited and reasonable way on specific rights in order to create more value through a strategy which covers well their own channels. Of course, we are looking very closely to their strategy and what it has in terms of impacts for Eurosport and the benefit of Eurosport on a standalone basis, and based on what we will have in terms of information and view during the next few weeks and months, we will decide and propose to our board whether or not to exercise this option. We still have 2 month reviews. The process has started, and of course the way they manage and invest is in line with the understanding we have. The question is what will be the position of TF1 regarding the future implication in Eurosport. Doesn't mean that the partnership will be different, or there are other issues dealing with them. So we are quite pleased with what has been achieved, and we will decide in the next couple of months on what we are going to do for this specific option and specific issue.
Okay, and just to follow up, if you do remain within the group and keep your 49% stake, then is it fair to assume that if you take the 15 million contribution, which I think was for 7 months last year, or 49% stake, on an annualized basis for 2015, probably that number will come down in 2015. Is that a fair starting assumption? Or you're not in a position to say?
It's a fair assumption. I can't give you, and I don't know exactly what proportion. If they reinvest a bit and pay additional rights, yes, there is a possibility that the profitability will be a bit lower, having in mind that they create more value on the long term.
Sure. Okay. Great. Thanks very much for the question.
Thank you. We have a next question from Lisa Young, Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Good evening, Philippe. My first question is on advertising. I mean, can you specify, you know, by how much were your volumes up in Q1? I mean, was the all of the 3% increase due to volumes? And in the past, you mentioned you'd be able to maybe, you know, leverage your prices. You know, have you been able to do that in April to offset, you know, the lower capacity to increase your volumes? My second question is on Metro. It looks like it's still quite heavily loss-making, and I'm just wondering what can be done there to make it profitable, and what's the time horizon? My third question is on LCI. I mean, I understand you're still waiting for the decision from the court whether it can be moved to free-to-air channel or not. But how much loss you're planning this year, given it looks like you've been taking some measures on cost? I think it was -8 last year. So do you think this year we can halve that loss? And the last one is on the Eurosport cash. I mean, I remember you said when you over the last 18 months you were, you know, doing a review to define how much was needed to invest in the business and how much could be distributed. So if you were to receive all that cash from Eurosport, would you consider giving that all of that to shareholders? Thank you very much.
Yeah. Well, thank you for your question. On the first question, I will not give the details in terms of volume. Volume were up, and the value as well was up. And I can tell you that we are fighting in terms of keeping the value or increasing the value every day, not only in April. So we've put in place a strategy which should create more value. We have developed different approach with advertisers, more on one data approach. You probably have heard of it, with combining the efficiency of our channels and of TF1 in terms of the return for advertisers, and we are more and more working with agencies as well as with advertisers in order to develop this specific approach and to keep or to even increase the value. I remind you that, as I mentioned, we are also on ratings. We are steady and we have the same ratings in prime time than last year with a high level in terms of ratings. I think that's as an example, of course, it's a very short term, but last evening we've made more than 7 million TV viewers on a U.S. series. So we are, and we have, I think, 96 better audience for the quarter as compared to 90 last year, same quarter. So the strategy in terms of value and in terms of power on specific screen and a certain moment of the day is something which is quite important and is delivering. Now, concerning the second question, Metro, what I can tell you at this stage is that we are progressing in terms of scenario and review based on the fact that the market is quite tough and is going down on the print, that what has been achieved for the moment on digital is has some value and is something that we are, of course, progressing. Just to give you figures in terms of unique visitors, 2 years ago, Metro, they had a bit more than 1.5 million unique visitors, and they average in 2014 3.2, so quite an impressive increase in terms of their performance on the digital. So we are looking at it, and we will come back to you as soon as possible to give you more information on our intention regarding Metro. Concerning SCI, yes, there was a loss of 8 million, a bit more than 8 million last year. We can't expect better performance for this year, as you know, because we are in a very specific process with the Supreme Court, which was supposed to deliver their position in the beginning of this year. At the end of this, they have postponed their decision till probably June, hopefully June. So we'll have, so we can't expect to perform better than last year in terms of EBIT impact, should be probably a bit more or in the same range or even a bit more than last year. Nothing very different and significant compared to last year, but nothing better, I have to admit. And that has to be dealt with before the end of the year in order to find a solution for 2016 and onwards. Now, concerning Eurosport, I just remind you that we have not given back to our shareholders the cash we had for the 51% Eurosport stake. We have just give back through our special part of dividend as well as the buyback intention and process, a part of it, which was around 54, a bit more than 50% of the cash we received. And I can't anticipate what the board will decide if we exercise the option. But the same kind of strategy, there is no reason for the board to change the financial strategy, which is, I remind you, that to keep cash in order to develop the business, part of the cash at least. So that's what we can say on the cash, potential cash.
Great, thank you so much.
Thank you. We have a next question from Julien Roque from Barclays.
Can I get
please go ahead.
Oui, bonsoir Philippe. First question is on Eurosport capital gain. Sorry to be very precise, but in the cash flow statement, the capital gain is 36.3, and you said that the P&L it was the equivalent of the profit of pay, i.e. 33.7, so there's a 2.6 million euro difference. So is the impact on the P&L 36 or 34? That's my first question. The second question is coming back on April again. You said you wouldn't comment on Q1 volume and prices, but if I were to look at the gross advertising data published by Kantar, and I looked at the volume increase in Q1 on a gross basis, would that be the same as on a net basis? That is my second question. And then my third question is on Eurosport. If you do not exercise the option in July, is there another exit window in a year or 2 years or 3 years? Can you remind us of the term of the deal, or is that the only exit window? Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you, Julien. On the first question, we received in terms of cash 36 million. So that the cash impact of the payment of the 31% additional Eurosport France stake, they Eurosport SA international boat. So that the cash impact. In terms of impact on the EBIT, it's not a capital gain as such, because we have already taken the capital gain. And as I always said, we were in a global approach, including Eurosport France and Eurosport International. What we have said is that we had a value in our accounts as compared to the value of the participation to adjust based on the goodwill we had on Eurosport France, and that has a deconsolidation impact, which is 33.7 million on the EBIT. So yes, you're right to say 36 million on the cash impact, but 33.7 is basically what we had in terms of accounting. Now, just to keep in mind the fact that in terms of cash, we have deconsolidated as well the cash of Eurosport France, and so meaning that we got in terms of cash for the payment of the 31%, 36 million. But at the same time, we do not consolidate anymore the cash of Eurosport France for an amount which is not very significantly different, around 30 million cash, a bit more, from Eurosport France, which is now consolidated by Discovery. So no significant impact in terms of cash, and the impact is on the deconsolidation value, which has been created in the past for Eurosport France and which is taken into account as a deconsolidation effect in the current EBIT. So second concern is, your second question was volume of Kantar and the number of broadcast minutes is linked with the number of broadcast minutes. Now, in terms of volume, this impact, of course, the GRP and the ratings, and of course on some screens, which basically are down, were down during the quarter. So you refer to the number of broadcasted minutes, but in the same time, we have to take into account, of course, a combination of the screen open and as well as the ratings, which is a component of what we are selling. And at the end, you have the GRP offer you get. So that's the reason why we explain April and the limited capacity play with volume, even if in terms of number of broadcasted minutes, you may have a different benchmark. Now, concerning Eurosport, I just remind you that, yes, we have another possibility. We have an option starting the 1st of July this year for 3 months, and this option is at a secured price, which is in line with the price which has been paid for the 31% of Eurosport Group, basically 950 million. Now, if we don't exercise this option, we have another option which could be exercised next year, 1st of July, for the three following months, same period of time. The difference is simply that the value of those 49% stake will be given or by an independent expert, and which is not secured. That is based on the fact that if we think that even if the short-term profitability is lower, even if they invest, we feel that the global value which is created by their strategy is higher than what we have secured, then we may wait for the next year option or possibility. And if in the long term we are very pleased with our partnership, then we will have no other choice except agreement with them. So, as a summary, two options, one this year secured, next year based on independent expert, and based on the value or creation through investment they may have decided, and we with them decided to make in order to create more value for the business.
So just to be 100% sure, those are the only two options. After that, there's no more exit window. It would be just a negotiation with Discovery.
Yes, no other exit than those two, but those two are already not so bad.
Yeah.
I would say that's the way it has been structured.
Okay,
yes.
Super, merci.
Thank you. We have no other questions for the moment.
Okay. So thank you very much for attending this conference call. And have a good evening to all of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes this evening's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.